Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We are so thankful that you have chosen to join us for the next 30 minutes as we are traveling throughout Brevard County. At the same time, we are feeding our spirits, learning the Word of God, studying the Word of God, applying the Word of God, and asking God to prepare us for the people around us, that we could show them what a life committed to Jesus Christ truly looks like. And so thank you for spending the next 30 minutes with us here. We're going to be in John chapter 3. Yesterday we finished, I turned the page there that shouldn't have, with Jesus in verse number 7 that said, you must be born again. So as you are getting ready for the day, I want to encourage you that when you look at people, that you look at them with John chapter 3, verse number 7 in mind, that not only do I need to be born again, they need to be born again, and that's why I'm here, to make sure that people know that there is a God who loves them. Jesus died for them, rose again, and is right now praying for them that they would be born again. And so there is no other way. There is no other way. And I want to encourage you that you allow God to speak to you, speak through you in such a way that people will know that Jesus loves them. One of the friends of the program, Weirich Air Heat and Electric, they are based in Rockledge, Florida. That is Weirich, Weirich Air. And they have been in Brevard County for a long, long time now, providing professional sales services and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields. They've been doing that for almost 50 years. They work in residential and light commercial settings. They provide emergency service when necessary. When we see them on Wednesday nights, one of the testimonies is, God's still keeping us busy. God's still keeping us busy. That they always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, you need to have this number written down, 321-632-9538, so that you can call them at 321-632-9538, so that you can have them come out, take a look at your system, and see if they can resolve those problems. I've had them solve problems for me in 15 minutes. I've also had some issues that were very complex, and they worked diligently to solve those problems. I've also had them modernize some of our exterior lighting and things like that. They have been very, very good at whatever we needed to have done. So I encourage you, call the folks at Weirich Air, 321-632-9538, and have them come out. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. To the Gospel of John we go today, John chapter 3. I'll start reading at verse number 4 today. Well, we've already talked about verse through all the way through verse 7, then we'll pick up at verse number 8. Verse 7 is where we got to yesterday. Verse 4 says this, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. We're going to stop the reading there today. Up in verse number 6, I said we were going to start at verse number 8, but felt quickened as I was reading that passage to address verse number 6. It says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let me start off today by telling you this. A spiritual problem will never be solved by carnal solutions. What we have in America right now, we have spiritual problems. If you trace the problems back to the root, they're spiritual. The problem is we are trying to solve spiritual problems with fleshly or intellectual or financial solutions. And that is never, ever going to be successful. On the same hand, if you are having a challenge, sometimes we want to pray about the situation. And I want you to hear me. Prayer is great. Prayer is fantastic. We should pray. We should be praying continually. But prayer will prompt an act of obedience. It'll prompt an act of repentance. And so sometimes people want to look at some of the challenges in life that call for a change in behavior. And they say, well, if I just pray about this more, maybe that problem will go away. You say, how do you know that people do that? Because I wanted to do that. There was a challenge that I was facing at one point in time in my life. It was an interpersonal relationship, wasn't a romantic relationship. It was just a person that I knew. This person needed me to address some disobedience in their life, some sin in their life. And I kept praying about it. I made no bones about it. It's like, God, I don't want to deal with this problem. I want to pray about it so that you deal with this problem. And God's answer was, that's why I put you in the position that I put you in, so that I could deal with this problem through you. And I kept praying until it began to cause me to feel ill. And it was like, what is going on? And God said, I've told you, you need to address this situation. And all of the praying in the world isn't going to change the fact that I want you to deal with this situation. And so I did. And you know what? I immediately felt better. Physically. Unfortunately, all of the reasons that I'd given to God about why I didn't want to deal with that situation ended up proving to be valid. But even in that situation, God spoke to me and helped me through. through that situation. So if you are dealing with a spiritual problem today, please understand you're not going to be able to fund your way out of it. You're not going to be able to think your way out of it. The government's not going to be able to help you out of it. We need Jesus in America. We need Jesus in Brevard County. I know that political season is coming up, and there's going to be all sorts of things that hit the airwaves and all of that sort of stuff. There's going to be false promises that are made in ad nauseum. And, you know, you just need to realize America needs Jesus desperately. And so having sensed a release now that I've said that, let's move on to verse number 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. If you remember, Nicodemus had been told that every person must be born again if they want to see the kingdom of God. Verse number 5, they must be born of water and of the Spirit if they want to enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was trying to figure out how to make that happen. Am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb? How am I supposed to make this happen? And in verse number 8, Jesus says it involves the Spirit of God. And so he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. Spiritual rebirth is, it happens without the limitations of our complete understanding. Now, a lot of people will look at that, they'll stop reading and say, well, it's just up to the Spirit of God. You know, if God wants me to be saved, I'm going to be saved. If he doesn't want me saved, I'm not going to be saved. And if you draw that conclusion, you would be missing the context of what comes after this. Because after this, and let me just say this as well, Jesus is patiently dealing with Nicodemus through Nicodemus's lack of understanding. I was in a conversation not too long ago, and I was talking to a person in their field of expertise, if you will. They're still pretty new at it. And they were trying to communicate something to me. And I have some awareness of the industry that they work with. And they were describing it. They couldn't come up with exactly the right word. And so they began to try and describe the conditions and things like that. And I was able to draw from my experience and my background, said, oh, you're talking about this, aren't you? And yeah, that. And they said the problem was it wasn't uniform. And so we had to go in there and we had to resolve the issues. And it's like, I understand. I understand. Whenever Jesus is dealing with us, we've got to realize that his understanding is infinitely beyond our understanding. And so he comes and he starts with us where we are, and he begins to build upon that so that our understanding becomes greater and greater and greater. There's a horrible problem that takes place in America where that says, until I understand what's going on, I'm not going to trust your expertise until I have full understanding. God thankfully doesn't do that. When we recognize that, like Nicodemus was not just a teacher. Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel. He was the preeminent teacher of his day. And he said, you don't understand what I'm saying. Let me try again. And so He tells him that the Spirit of God comes and he makes spiritual birth happen. And so Nicodemus now asks a question, how can these things be? What is the process? How does it happen? And he says, Jesus says, most assuredly, or certainly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. We live in a world where everyone must be born again if they are going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. It's a spiritual truth. If you do not like that, you don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with God. Now, he's given us free will, and there's a huge misrepresentation of Christianity here in secular society, and that is, y'all are saying that I can't go to heaven unless I do life the way that you say. That's not what I'm saying. You can choose to do life however you want to. I'm just telling you there are benefits for doing it God's way, and there are consequences for not doing it God's way. I'm not trying to mandate it. I am trying to inform you so that you can make the best decision possible. And so when it comes to telling people about the goodness of God, about the blessings of God, Jesus gives us a very short, simple, concise manner in which to communicate the kingdom of God to those who are not in the kingdom of God. Are you ready for this? Speak what you know. If you are talking with someone, I would encourage you to find a point of reference that you can talk to them about something that they are very familiar with, that they enjoy talking about. And you know what that is? They love talking about themselves. They're an expert on themselves. And so if you can talk to them, then you can share with them. There's going to be some point of reference. And I would encourage you, listen, don't just listen to respond. Listen because you're interested. And, you know, I've known people that whenever I was talking to them about a problem I was having, they would almost want to cut me off as soon as, I got a fever. I don't have a fever. I'm just using that as an example. Okay, well, you need to take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Well, you haven't heard about the other symptoms. Well, what are the other symptoms? And you name another symptom. Okay, well, take, 2 aspirins and a glass of milk and call me in the morning. And they were constantly looking to solve the problem without having a full discussion about what was actually going on. They were listening to respond or to fix the problem. Guys, we are pretty well known for this. And so my wife and I, we've had to figure out how much detail I can tolerate and how much of the detail is just overkill. And so, after a lot of years of being married together, we've come to that place where, she can share with me the things that she needs to share with me. And, it doesn't get into so much into the weeds and drag the conversation down. So, talk about the things that you know. So when you're talking about the kingdom of God, talk about the things that you know. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to understand the Bible. You don't have to be a theological expert at this point in time. You've just got to be growing. And when you grow, you are going to come to learn something new every day. Parents, when you come home from church on Sunday. Ask your kids or ask your grandkids, what did you learn in church today? And you know what? They will be able to share with you the things that they learned. And that gives a greater impact to the lesson if you will allow them to take it from just the receiving to now being able to transmit the information. It will make an even greater impact on their life. What do you know? Well, I know Jesus loves me. Praise God, you know what? Most of America doesn't know that anymore. There was a time where there was a movie that had a word that I am not going to mention here on the radio program in it, and they almost didn't show the movie. There was a television series. This goes back before, you know, it's BB. It's before Bob. But it was a program that I watched in reruns, and that program almost didn't make it on the air, and it said a very tame word that wasn't a profane word. It was just inching closer and closer to it. Now you can't watch commercials without the risk of profanity. You had better be able to turn the volume down, hit the mute button. There is no inhibition whatsoever about profanity taking place in our modern day and time. The word profane means common, and words I would never say, have never said, now is one of the most frequently used words in the English language. People don't even know how to complete a sentence without using that as a noun, a verb, and an adjective all at in the same sentence. It's really, really kind of shocking. Tell what you know. If all you know is Jesus loves you and that he loves them, tell him that. If Jesus changed your heart and your life, tell him that he changed your heart and your life. They'll be able to tell. If they can't tell, then you need to go back to Jesus and say, God, we got a lot of work to do. I need you to work in me, because there needs to be a transformation in me that is noticeable to those around me. We speak about what we know, and we testify what we have seen. I believe the statistic is that out of all of the things that a person says, that those who hear what is said retain less than 10% of that knowledge. Less than 10%. What happens is the more of the senses that are engaged in the process, that the more memorable it is. So when I preach at church, I am an interactive preacher. I want people to say amen. Sometimes I will have them repeat a verse with me. It's not a theatrical or a presentation standpoint. It is designed to get the person to know the Word of God spiritually, intellectually, and use their emotions and their senses to be able to speak that in such a way that when they go out, there is going to be something that they have seen that they can tell others about. I have seen some amazing things. I have seen hostile crowds part like the Red Sea, and people that they were wanting to do harm to be able to walk peacefully right through the midst of them. I've seen that. I've seen people come to the altar and praying for a family member who had a heart problem and come back and testify that night after service that the heart problem that was there was healed between Sunday morning and Sunday night service. I have seen people who were sent home to die that lived for almost five decades after they were sent home to die. I've seen people who were supposed to pass away and God raised them up and they lived for years and years. You know, we don't take the miraculous for granted. Salvation is let me put it to you the way that I believe that salvation is the greatest miracle that there is. It is spiritual life coming into people who are spiritually separated from God. That's the reason that the church exists. Healings are wonderful. I've experienced supernatural healing. It's fantastic. I much prefer being well to being sick. I really do. I enjoy being pain-free more than I enjoy being in pain. But healing is for this present time to get people to see that Jesus is the Lord, our healer, that by his stripes we are healed. Salvation is a miracle that has eternal ramifications. And that's what you cannot be saved without Jesus. Jesus is the one who comes to save us. It is only through Jesus that salvation comes. It's not from an education. It is not because you used to sleep underneath the pews or the chairs or whatever it might be. It's not that you know you just had a neighbor that was a really good person. It takes Jesus coming into your heart, coming into your life, and being the Lord of your life. He paid the price. And so that's basically where we're going to get. But I do want to tell you that today, if you're not a pastor, you can still tell people about Jesus. You can tell them what you know. You can tell them what they've seen. And a person with an argument is never at the mercy, or a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. When you know something and when you've seen it, no matter what people tell you, you say, I know that I know that I know that I know that Jesus loves me, and he has saved my soul. You have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
There's a time when you got to walk away. out of the night.